Good evening, I'm Michelle Sharp. Every time I phone Gaylines to get the updated calendar events, Stephen always mentions the Sharp Foundation. Now, I knew it had nothing to do with me or my last name, so I phoned to find out about it. And through the Sharp Foundation, I've met Walter Beswick and talked to Don Gallant. And now I've got Walter sitting here with me, and we're going to find out a little bit more about Sharp Foundation, if anybody else has ever heard of it. Now you're going to find out about it. Thanks, Walter, for coming over.
You're welcome, Michelle.
Tell me how the Sharp Foundation got its name.
The Sharp Foundation. Sharp stands for the Society Housing AIDS Recovering Persons.
Why did you start this foundation?
Well, everything started about a year ago now. My lover was diagnosed full-blown AIDS. Was in the hospital for about 2 months with pneumonia. And when he came out of the hospital, we were very fortunate. We had a decent home for him to come to, and there was a lot of love around to help him get back on track and get his health back together. A lady by the name of Sadie, a volunteer with AIDS Calgary, worked with me to get Don to build up his strength and hope. And then shortly after that, AIDS Calgary again came to us and asked if we may be interested in helping an individual that was in palliative care at the General Hospital, who had no family, no home, and no place to go, and there was nothing more the hospital could do for him. Don and I talked about it and decided that we would let this person come into our home. And we lived and cared and loved along with him until he died. And when he died in our home, very peacefully, very quietly, in his room. And I repeat, his room. He had something. And Sadie had a vision that there should be a home for people like this. Don and I carried the idea a bit further, that it's not just the ones that are in palliative care that have no place to go. What about the fellows that are diagnosed, they lose their job, they lose their income, they lose their dignity, they lose their self-esteem? What do they do? Where do they go? And with that, we started working on the Sharp Foundation.
Okay, now what about social services? I mean, AIDS didn't happen a year ago. It's happened 10 years ago. How come it's taken so long for somebody to find out that there are people around who need some sort of place to go, some sort of a safe place, some place where they can get, as you mentioned before, hope?
I can't point a finger at social services or any other agency. It is something that's been talked about for years and years. Other cities in Canada, as small as Halifax, as large as Toronto, Vancouver, have these houses in place. I guess it just was a matter of somebody taking the initiative to make it happen.
How many people get involved to get something like this set up? Besides yourself and Don, how many people are involved here?
Well, it started off with Sadie, Don, myself. And we grew to a group of about seven, which formed the nonprofit organization, the Sharp Foundation. And through differences of opinions, we split a bit. We've regrouped with a stronger force. We now have a board of directors of nine, an advisory committee, and many, many, many agencies in the city now working along with us.
What are the names of some of those agencies that are helping you out?
We have Calgary Health Services, Calgary Home Domestics, the Foothills Hospital Clinic, Alberta Health Mental Health, and the list goes on.
AIDS Calgary as well in there.
AIDS Calgary is watching us very closely. They are certainly hoping that what we're doing is the right thing and do wish us all the best.
I sense a bit of animosity. Why are they not helping you more rather than watching? Well, you'd think that they would want to be involved, want to help.
Oh, well, I really think they do. They're just kind of watching us right now to make sure that we're not a fly-by-night and that we're going to do more harm than we do good.
Okay. Once you get something like this started, you've got your basis. Where do you go from there? You've got your own home, so I'm assuming that you started it through your own home.
Our own home is not one of the Sharp houses.
Was it not originally?
No, it just happened to be where the fellow from the general hospital came.
Okay, so after he had come and stayed with you, that's when you decided to start the foundation, correct?
That's correct.
And then you went in and got a home.
What we did was contacted Alberta Mortgage and Housing. And after many discussions with them, there was a rent supplement program available where we could access housing through a private landlord, charge minimal rent to the tenants, and Alberta Mortgage and Housing would carry the rest.
So is it looked upon as a group home? Is that how it's looked upon?
Exactly, Michelle. That's what it is. They are group home and group home environments. Mm-hmm. They're not institutions. There is no monitor there 24 hours a day. There's no health nurse there watching everyone's step. It's their home, and they look after each other. They share with each other. They are recovering.
Okay. Besides a dependency on each other, who else do they have to depend on coming into the home to take care of them or help take care of each other?
Calgary Health Services does supply, when needed and when asked, a health nurse that will come and do a home visit once every week or every 2 weeks, whichever the clients themselves feel is necessary.
Okay.
Also, we are now setting up a volunteer system for people to come in and clean, visit, play cards, go to movies, to be a friend, so that no longer do the people living in homes have to feel like they're alone, that there are people out there that care.
It almost seems like once AIDS became something so well publicized and people were so shunned, or men were so shunned by their friends, their family, anybody that they came into contact, totally shut them out of their lives, didn't want to deal with it, and there was no hope. There was no hope from social services. There was no hope from the government. There was no hope from anybody. You're doing it yourself.
Well, we're trying. We're trying to remove the roadblocks, whether that be government policy, whether it be...
Talk about those roadblocks. Let's hear what kind of roadblocks people run into when they're looking for help.
Well, some of the roadblocks would be when a person's first diagnosed. Quite often, they do lose their jobs through either not being able to perform their jobs, or their employers find out, and that's it, goodbye. Where do you turn? How do you get support? For most, they can go on unemployment insurance until that runs out. But when that runs out, then what? Unfortunately, a person's reduced to social assistance. Welfare.
Yeah.
And that's pretty degrading as it is. But then there's a whole network. Because you're disabled because of a disease, it's a different route than the person who
would be, for example, disabled because of an accident and through the loss of the use of their body, perhaps.
That's true. For most HIV AIDS persons, it is a crippling, continuing disease that eventually wears down the entire body, and returning to the workforce after a rest just doesn't happen very often.
Mm-hmm.
The province of Alberta is very good. They do have a lot of financial assistance available. It's getting through the red tape to get those services into place for
time.
Individuals.
Yeah, the time that it takes to get through that red tape that somebody may not have.
Not so much the time, as nobody seems to be able to sit down with these individuals and say, this is what you can do. This is what you are entitled to. For instance, if you are not able to get around on your own, the city of Calgary has a special needs taxi service where they will issue a person a credit card. They can go anywhere in the city for $1.75, up to a maximum per month. Now, this service is supposed to be used for trips to the hospital, emergency. There is a lot of abuse on these cards, not by just AIDS patients, but by many, many people. And one of the things the Sharp Foundation is trying to do would be to access a card for these group homes. This would ensure that the city is saving money by getting rid of fraudulent and misuse. Mm-hmm. We're trying to save the government money through the subsidized housing. Mm-hmm. Rather than paying $290 per person per month for shelter, mm-hmm. with the subsidy in place from Alberta Mortgage and Housing, mm-hmm. social assistance is only paying $120 per month.
Right. What kind of reaction are you getting from the city with regards to the taxis and with regards to the housing?
At first we were told there is no provisions for a group to access a special needs taxi card. We're now waiting for a reply from the higher-ups.
Okay, what about the province in reaction to the housing?
Alberta Mortgage and Housing has wholeheartedly gone along with our project, and they have helped us in every conceivable way.
Let's talk about the different phases of the program that you've got set up. Maybe just go back one little bit and talk about the mandate of the Sharp Foundation.
Well, the mandate of the Sharp Foundation is very simply to provide affordable housing accommodation of any kind or class for its members. To provide necessary equipment and furniture for carrying on its various objects. To operate as a charitable organization, to receive charitable donations such as cash, lands, properties, or anything else, anything to make the house a home.
Okay, let's go back a little tiny bit, and where are you getting the cash, the donations? Who's helping you out, besides obviously the Alberta Mortgage Foundation and the city and whoever else, but talk about our own community. Who's helping you?
Well, in the gay community itself, a number of the businesses, privately owned businesses, have come forth with cash donations through various fundraisings at Camp 181 dances, Project Pride dances. We have asked for donations and volunteers to come forward. And so far, it's astounding, and it puts a smile on my face to see how many people out there really do care and have come forward. But it's not enough yet, and the more people getting involved, the better off everyone will be.
Okay. We're going to take a real quick break and listen to Peggy Ward's And When You Go, and then we'll come back and talk a little bit more to Walter about the Sharp Foundation. We're back with Walter Beswick from the Sharp Foundation, and we're going to talk a little bit more about what the Sharp Foundation is doing. Walter, let's go through the phases. You've got three basic phases as to the approach. What's going on there?
Okay, phase one was for the Sharp Foundation to establish a group of group homes. And with the idea in mind that the group homes would improve or enhance the living conditions of individuals affected with HIV/AIDS. Through living together with other people in the same boat, they were able to exchange ideas, feelings, and generally improve their morale.
So in other words, intimate support of each other.
Yes, exactly. There's nothing worse than being diagnosed with a deadly disease and being alone.
Absolutely. So,
there are groups, various groups all over the city that individuals can go to, but sometimes that's just not the right thing.
It's almost a 24-hour service. That's what you're talking about here. There's a big difference between that and going once a week or once a month to a group.
Exactly. When you need somebody to be around, in a group home, generally somebody's around.
Yeah.
Yet the homes are set up that if you want to be alone, there's either a quiet room, your own bedroom, mm-hmm. or whatever. You don't have to be around people, yet you're never alone.
Yeah. Now, you've got one home, is that correct?
One home.
You're getting to two. You're working on the second one, right?
Yes, we're working on the second home right now.
Okay.
One is open, and people are living in it.
Okay. How many people live in this particular home?
Two.
Okay. You've got two right now. The next home, tell me about it.
The next home is all on one level rather than an up-down, which will make it easier for people that are not able to navigate staircases and things like that. We are keeping the homes at three bedrooms. Other higher than three bedrooms, then you have to get into city bylaws, city zoning, mm-hmm. and we don't need that kind of red tape at this point.
You have enough roadblocks, you don't need another one.
that's right. So what we've done is gone out and find compassionate landlords that are sympathetic to the cause and have offered their rental properties to us at a bit reduced rate, and actually both landlords have now consented to including the utilities, which saves both the foundation and the individuals living in the homes a lot of stress, wondering where you're going to get that extra $35 to pay the heat bill.
Yeah.
It's all taken care of.
Yeah.
Okay, now that's phase two. Let's talk about phase two.
Phase two, nutrition is a very, very big issue when it comes to AIDS patients. And quite often, when people are living alone or with others that don't understand, quite often a decent meal is neglected. AIDS Calgary covers this very well. On Friday afternoons, they supply a hot meal, and many, many, many other clients go for that service. What Sharp hopes to establish is a volunteer network of people going in, we would say Sunday through Thursday, at the supper hour, and preparing a nutritional hot meal.
You know, why is that different from Meals on Wheels, that example?
It's a home-cooked meal prepared in the home, and if you don't like broccoli, you don't get broccoli.
Who doesn't like broccoli?
Joey.
Joey, eat your broccoli. Okay, let's talk about phase three.
Phase three is to implement services already available in a city, but when people are first diagnosed, they have no idea that these services are available for them.
So you're talking about a roadmap through the services, where you can go, how to get what you need.
Exactly. For instance, as I said, there are many groups, support groups in the city. How do you get to them? How do you find them? There is individual counseling available through a number of facilities. How do you get to them? Who do you call? You're not feeling well, maybe not well enough that you should ship yourself off to the emergency or even be bothered with your GP.
Mm-hmm.
Health services can provide a health nurse to drop in and just check you out once a week or once every 10 days or every 2 weeks, depending on your physical condition. But how do you get one of these nurses? How do you, et cetera, et cetera?
Mm.
There's many, many things. The special needs taxi. Who do you get in touch with? How do you get these things?
Yeah.
And through our own experience, for many of us in the foundation, we have already followed this roadmap. So now we know how to access these things, and in a lot of cases, access it faster than normally would be.
Great.
Okay, let's talk about some of the individuals that you've helped over the past 6 months to a year. For example, you brought someone out of the Regis Hotel, is that correct? Tell me about this guy.
Well, I'll say we didn't bring him out.
Okay.
We gave him the option. He was living in Southwest Calgary. He became sick with pneumonia and went into the Foothills Hospital. And when it was time for him to be released, he no longer had a place to go. His apartment was gone. And his only alternative was to check into the Regis Hotel. This particular individual was also deaf and dumb, which made it a little more difficult for him to communicate. When we became aware of this person living in the Regis Hotel, we went down just to pay a visit to see how he was making out, because he didn't look like he was making out that well. And when we got there, we found him in a 8x10 room, a bed, a nightstand, and a dresser, a half a bag of dirty clothes, and Submarine and McDonald's wrappers in the garbage can. That was his life. That was his existence.
We're talking about nutrition being the most important thing, and these are not exactly nutritional foods to be putting into your body, but his circumstances were not all that great either.
Well, because of his mobility, he wasn't able to get around very good. He has, not so much because of the AIDS, but because of having polio when he was a child, he's pretty crippled up in the legs. So what we did at that point was express to him what we were proposing to set up, and would he be interested in something like that. The man did a complete turnaround. The sparkle came back in his eyes. He got a haircut. He shaved his beard off. He no longer looked like he should be pushing a grocery cart down 7th Avenue. He basically sprang back to life. And
how old is this guy?
I don't know exactly. He's about 40.
So he's still young. He's still young, and he's still got time to for hope.
Oh, yes, for sure.
Did the system fail him? Should he have been released from the hospital into that kind of a condition?
I don't know what happened.
Yeah.
Actually, as was expressed, he got lost in the cracks.
Yeah.
And nobody really knew where he was or what happened to him.
Where is he now? What's happening right now with him?
He's living in the Sharp House now. And TV seems to be his favorite.
Does he eat his broccoli?
He now eats everything he gets his hands on. He has put on considerable weight.
Good. Okay. So in other words, you are helping enough people to make it worthwhile.
In this house, let's say there are two people. The process is long and hard. We can't go out and drag people and say, this is better for you. All we can do is pace ourselves, show through expression that it is helping individuals. And as other people see it's helping, it will grow. It will grow.
Yeah.
And as other people's circumstances change, for instance, JW has a nice home, a nice apartment. He's making out okay. But then all of a sudden pneumonia hits. He's in the hospital for 2.5 months. Nobody's taking care of his apartment. The landlord has now seized it up. What's going to happen to him?
Yeah.
Where does he turn after that? There has to be a place for people to turn.
Yeah.
And at this point, there isn't. A cot in the Salvation Army, a rundown hotel room, that's no answer. That's a quicker death than AIDS itself.
Okay. Now you're looking for some money, to put it nicely. You have a message for some people, I believe.
We've had a number of businesses in the community come forward and offer monthly financial support. And the more businesses we talk to, the more we're finding that they're willing to help. We are still seeking provincial city funding, but these things take an enormous amount of time. A lot of paperwork, a lot of questions to be answered. And in the meantime, until these roadblocks are bypassed and funding from the government can come in. We would appreciate any business out there that would be interested in helping this cause or even finding out more about it to please contact us.
Okay, where can they contact you?
At 686-0653. And that's a local number, not long distance.
Thanks to AGD.
Or they could write to us at the Sharp Foundation, 1927 30th Street, Southwest Calgary. G3E2L5.
Oh, postal codes. Okay, we've been talking to Walter Beswick. And I say hi to Don at home. I hope he's feeling better by the time this show airs. And on to a piece of music, right? You want to hear something special, eh, Walter?
Yes. Always brings tears to my eyes and holds a lot of real emotion for me.
What's the piece?
Wind Beneath My Wings.
Bette Midler. Okay. Thanks a lot for coming in.
Thank you very much, Michelle.